Welcome to Bucks Insider, presented by Verizon. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith, and we are just so grateful to Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davidson for making our shows endlessly entertaining.
What day is it?
This time of year. None of us know.
I can't keep track.
But you know what day it is? It's the We Bring Everybody Back Day. That's what I feel like we should have made. I don't know, maybe March 13th is now officially Run It Back Day.
Yeah, happy new league year.
Man, new league year, free agency, frenzy this week, so much going on, and frenzy. I just feel like the Bucks crushed it. Not like we're biased or anything, but even still, I feel like I saw tweets from people all over the league and everywhere talking about just how amazing it is what our front office has been able to achieve. And Jason Light himself had said, hey, if we're able to bring a lot of these guys back, we deserve another boat parade. And I think he is just about there.
And then yesterday he said, look at this. And it was, his quote was taken a little bit out of context by some of the national media. He didn't say like the greatest free agency class of all time across the league. If you actually read his quote, he said it was a great class, one of the best for the Buccaneers ever, and it includes some Hall of Famers, which is true.
That's very true.
Mike Evans is a lock, and maybe Levante David. You know, so you can understand his enthusiasm. We kind of figured this was the list a few weeks ago, or right after the Super Bowl, when you looked at the list of free agents, like, okay, we can see the obvious priorities there, but can the Bucks possibly keep them all? And I'm not sure how they did it, but they did it.
It is funny. It feels so similar to what we said after those Super Bowl years of, like, when they were trying to bring everybody back, and we were like, how can they? There's no way. They did it.
They did it.
And they did it again. So
And to tie that all together, the way they did that in the years after the Super Bowl was doing a lot of the contracts that they hadn't done before, which put a lot of stress on the cap in future years. And that's what created this situation this year, where there's not a lot, and last year too, where there's not a lot of wiggle room. So it makes it really hard to now do it again. But they found a way. So it's really impressive.
So, of course, the news that was basically, especially yesterday because of the press conference, Baker Mayfield officially back, which is so awesome. And I just love the attitude at his press conference, the reception from the team, all of it, that you can just tell everybody with this organization is so excited he's back. And Baker is incredibly excited to be back, which is cool. He talked about this at his press conference, of how much Tampa has become home to him.
We call Tampa home now. It's a special place. Just seeing the passionate fans, the ones that talk about going to the old Sombrero, the ones that have been fans for a long time, that have stuck through the thick and thin, that's what makes it special. The people that are traditional fans, obviously we always welcome new ones, but the ones that have been here for the long haul make it really special. And so for Emily and I, we started our foundation last year, and just being able to, like I said earlier, boots on the ground mentality, making a difference in the community, for us, this is a great opportunity to do that. And knew nothing about it, but it's a laid-back city, but people are really, really passionate about their sports, and it gives us the opportunity to truly make a difference in the long run.
I love that. I love how committed he and his wife have been. You know, they started their foundation, and they've really given back a lot, and I'm sure that's only going to happen even more now that they know that Tampa really is their long-term
home. They've really embraced the community and done a lot of good things already. Like you said, I'm sure they'll do more. In addition to that, on the flip side of it, is it cool that it's a compliment to be called 10 of 10 on the prick scale?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting little addition there, and I loved how I saw Jason Light be like, should I? Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to say
it.
And he apologized to our head of PR right after, which I thought was very funny. But I thought that was a great way to describe it. It's true. He's got the moxie. That's how I would have maybe described
moxie.
It.
Moxie.
That's a good one.
They just put up a tweet I sent out yesterday, and this is part of it. I mean, everybody loves Baker.
Yep.
They'd run through a brick wall for Baker.
Yep.
But that kind of ties in. I don't know if this is unusual or not. It just struck me late yesterday afternoon. I'm like, these guys that we're resigning not only are, you know, the key to continuing to be successful in the football field, but everybody loves these guys.
So true.
Think of this locker room.
It's amazing. I personally, of course, like, I care a lot about who the guys are in the locker room. That my job is to help fans know who they are and to showcase the off-field personalities and all of that. And every single one of these signings made me personally really excited, from just the who we're around on a daily basis, what it means for the interviews, because they're all genuinely great, fun, awesome guys.
Yeah, I didn't even think I included on that tweet Chase McLaughlin.
Yeah, same.
He's a wonderful guy as well.
Also includes that. So yeah, so we talked a little bit about Baker, and of course you saw in the tweet, we kind of previewed all the people we're talking about here that they've been able to do. Levante is also coming back. I feel like between, especially Mike and Levante, of just the tenure here, what they've meant to the franchise and the city for what they've done, I can't imagine a better week than for Bucks fans knowing that you get both Mike and Levante back, and just for Levante to have another year here is incredible.
It's hard to think of a time in Bucks history, which is almost 50 years worth, where they've had one guy on offense and one guy on defense that are like all-timers in franchise history and just such beloved characters at the same time. Maybe Derek Brooks and Mike Allstott, yeah, or Ronnie Barber and Mike Allstott, something like Paul Gruber and I don't know, but just to have those two icons at the mm-hmm. same time, and you could have lost them, and you got them both back.
And this is what, Lavonte's fourth contract technically?
Does I think
that sound
so.
Right? And Mike's third? That's a lot to be able to have that many deals on guys that you, homegrown talent. It's yeah. it's a very cool
In reality, thing. It's probably about Mike's 15th contract,
right.
because it's been restructured so many times.
That's very true. And so how about some of these other re-signings that, of course, we know that Mike, Baker, and Lavonte got a lot of the attention, but there were other additions yeah. as well that were important.
Well, yeah, a couple of the guys, last year it was obviously a very limited run in free agency, but it worked out. It was only a few guys. Baker Mayfield, obviously. Greg Gaines, Chase Edmonds, Chase McLaughlin. All those were guys that we signed last year that fit into some nice roles. Obviously, Chase McLaughlin had an amazing season. But even Chase Edmonds and Greg Gaines, who are obviously reserves, filled a nice little role, and the Bucs like what they did, and they brought him back. So Greg Gaines played 42% of the snaps on defense in that rotation up front, probably helped quite a bit with the good run defense. Chase Edmonds, mm-hmm. nobody but Chase Edmonds took a snap as a running back other than Rashad White over the last 10 games.
Wow.
I mean, he was the guy
yeah.
to spell Rashad White. Chase McLaughlin set records for Buccaneer kickers. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Then, of course, we brought back a guy.
Which is so fun. So Jordan Whitehead is coming back, and I feel like there's been so few times in my career that you bring back someone that's left a team.
Right.
And I can't think of very many people I would be more excited about coming back than Jordan Whitehead. A great guy, and man, I feel like what he can bring to this defense is so important.
So I heard a story yesterday that I think it was John Spytek went to tell Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, that they had re-signed Jordan Whitehead and like almost brought him to tears. He was so happy.
He was so happy. That's incredible.
So if that tells you anything, Jordan's, I know we're probably going too hard on this vibes thing and yeah. all these guys are wonderful, but they really are. And Jordan, yeah. Jordan's such a, I mean, is he never smiling?
He's not always smiling, which I love because he just looks terrifying because he's so
he's
chiseled.
He's just chiseled.
And yet he's just always like,
yeah.
hi guys. And I love the fact that he can absolutely destroy someone on the field and then walk off the field and just be the smiliest, happiest
yep.
person. And I'm like, that's just the dream, right? Is
yep.
the person that you love to be around off the field and then can murder the other team
yeah.
on the field.
And who can forget his forced fumble on Aaron Jones in the NFC Championship game in 2020?
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest plays of the entire game. And I think he actually got hurt on the play. But that's he
yeah.
was selling out for
selling
it.
Selling out for it. Well, I know as much as we've loved being able to talk about everyone that we have kept or brought back, we did lose one mm-hmm. very key addition to this team, which I will also be very sad about as well. Carlton Davis has been traded. So tell us the details of that.
Yeah. Carlton Davis traded to Detroit along with a sixth round pick this year, which is number 201, and a sixth round pick next year. And in return, the Buccaneers get a third rounder, which is number 92. And Carlton Davis had a nice 6 years here. There's no doubt. So I think obviously the salary cap had something to do with this. You have to make some sacrifices somewhere if you're mm-hmm. bringing all these guys back. And we obviously wish Carlton well, unless he's playing against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, just that one game.
You know, he had some really nice stretches. Sometimes when he was a lockdown guy on the other team's number one, I think from 19 to 20, he had the most passes defensed in the league. So Carlton did a lot of really nice things for the Buccaneers. We wish him well. He's going to a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
That said, a third-round draft pick is a really good asset.
Yep.
It's a really good asset. And I can prove that by putting up the list of the Buccaneers since 2017. So that's what, the last 7 years? Look at this list that
wow.
the Buccaneers have taken in the third round. I mean, other than Keyshawn Vaughn, which obviously didn't work out, every other guy on that list became a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, Kendall Beckwith.
He just got injured.
He got hurt
he
in a car
playing,
accident.
Yeah, he was playing great before.
Chris Godwin,
then.
Awesome. Kendall Beckwith was a starter until he got in a car accident. Alex Kapp, a starter, got a big deal with the Bengals. Jamel Dean, still here, starter.
Yep.
Mike Edwards just won another Super Bowl ring
mm-hmm.
for Kansas City. He was a starter. Robert Haynes, a starter. Rashad White's a starter. Yaya Diaby only needed half a season to become a starter.
That's an incredible list.
That a third-round draft pick is a really nice asset, and given that Carlton is going into the last year of his deal, it's a pretty big cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
It just, to me, I think that if the hard decision was made that Carlton needed to be traded, I think Jason Light did a phenomenal job to get a third round pick in this deal.
Yep. And another person that the team lost that we will all be very sad to see go is Shaq Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this news sort of has been out there
right.
for a while, but in terms of just the officialness of how it works, when they needed to release him, all of that, that it finally became official yesterday, I believe. And yep. we'd already heard the news, of course, that he's signed with Miami.
Good.
And so we're very happy for him that he found a new home, and Miami has gotten a great one. And just he and his family, such wonderful people, and we will very much miss him. And of course, just it would I don't know that we win a Super Bowl without him. So
thanks
to Shaq for everything he did here.
Yeah, he was amazing in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. 4 sacks and 8 quarterback hits over those two games, which is amazing. So he obviously could turn it on when it mattered the most. And I think when you look at what he did, 45 sacks, he's fifth in team history, broke the team sack record in his first year here, really took the advantage of a chance to be a starter and ran with it. If you look at all the free agent signings the Bucs have made in their history, he's right up there, like probably top five.
Mm-hmm. So now we've talked about a lot of the guys that they have brought back, a couple guys they've lost. Where do we stand on guys that it's still sort of pending, as you might call it, with free agents?
Well, we can put up the list of the guys that became free agents yesterday at 4 o'clock. There it is. It's about, 14 guys. There's some good players there. There's some guys that did good things for us last year. But I think if you look at that list, you can tell that the Buccaneers already hit their major priorities. Still, you could see some action here. I mean, and by the way, I should point out Russell Gage is on that list because the Buccaneers did not pick up his option year for this year. So he spent last year on IR, obviously. Wish him well. But there's, you know, John Wolford knows the system. Mm-hmm. He could be a candidate to come back as a third quarterback. Does Zach Trinner come back? You have another guy that they signed after the season, Nick Leverett. I think, actually, he might have signed somewhere.
Hmm. Aaron Stinney. I mean, that's
Aaron
a
started,
guy who started
yeah.
most of last year. Dee Delaney was a massive part of that defense at different times, being asked to do every dang thing.
Very good point.
In that secondary.
Will Golston, we love him. He's played more games than any other defensive lineman in team history. He's just been steady throughout his career.
That's the word everyone uses about
steady?
Him, including Coach Bowles. That when
oh, really?
I've asked him about him, that's what he always says. Yeah. He's just steady Eddie is what he always says, and he knows exactly what he's supposed to do when he does it.
Even if Will doesn't come back this year, he played 11 seasons, and he was a fourth-round draft pick, and played the most games by a defensive lineman. That was a hit of a draft pick.
Heck of a draft pick, for sure. All right, so let's get into a little bit of the NFC South this week of what are some of the key moves and trades and signings that will affect the Buccaneers division.
A lot of stuff happened all across the league so fast. I mean, that legal tampering period began at noon on Monday, and we were getting reports by, 12:15. So
amazing how that happens.
Yeah, you know. In any case, however it goes down, I think the biggest moves, obviously, Kirk Cousins joins the Falcons on a giant contract, got paid again, another $100 million guaranteed. I mean, that guy, what a career. In any case, he was really good last year before he tore his Achilles. Mm-hmm. He's 36. The torn Achilles does put a little bit of a question mark on it, but obviously the Falcons aren't particularly concerned about that because they made a huge commitment. When you look at the offensive weapons that the Falcons have that they've added in the last 3 or 4 years, and you think about a guy who really should be able to come in and distribute the ball to them on time, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to the Carolina Panthers, they actually lost, I mean voluntarily, but they lost a big guy when they had put the franchise tag on Brian Burns, who's their best pass rusher, but apparently they were motivated probably for cap reasons to trade him away, and they gave him to the Giants for second and fifth round picks, which, I mean, for the Buccaneers, it's good news.
It is.
To have him out of the division. So that was probably the biggest thing that they did. I can't off the top of my head think of a lot of moves that the Saints did. They, again, like they do every year, have to worry about the cap.
They just signed Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, re-signed him.
Re-signed him, but
Jameis Winston left.
Left. So yeah,
there's some big moves and some more sure to come. The Panthers also gave $100 million to guard Robert Hunt from the Dolphins. So they're making some moves to shore up their offensive line. And, you know, the Dave Canales over there trying to make that offense work. So
yep,
I think they also traded for Deontay Johnson, the receiver from the Steelers. So there's a lot of moving parts for the Buccaneers. It's mostly been keeping their own guys. But there's still a long way to go in free agency.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on this free agency edition of Bucs Insider. We'll see you next time.